Hello, and welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. We're coming to the end, boys. It's week 14. Playoffs start next week. It's in for a doozy. We've got a lot of fun matchups to go over this week. One matchup that doesn't matter a single lick. You guys will be here with the ride with us. I'm your host, Blake, joined as always by Rob and Tyler. How are we doing, guys?
Hey, doing good. Did y'all think when we started this at the beginning of the year that we and they extended the NFL season by a week, we're like, oh, we're going to have another season at it, or another week in the season, instead of 13 to 14, that we'd actually be at week 14. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
I don't know. I honestly didn't follow that entire sentence. That sentence, as you were saying it, was like just trickling out of my brain as you talked.
What I meant was like, along about what he's saying, how do we get to week 14 already?
I thought you were going to say, did you guys think we were going to make it this far? I was like, yeah, usually I would assume that way.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, can you believe there's this much that could still happen in week 14? I'm like, oh, yeah, kind of. Like,
it just seemed like it was going to be a long season, you know, adding a week to the regular season, and we're already here. That's all I meant.
Moral of the story is that was terrible.
Well, I just went along with your usual intro.
Actually, I thought pretty good about that one this week.
Well, that's why I said usual. I didn't say today's.
Yeah, we got a, you know, our normal matchups and stuff. I'm going to cover the current leaderboard situation as far as points go. But before we get into all that, we got to hit our news and notes from around the league.
It's time for Blake with news and notes.
All right, where to start?
Probably with the news.
I mean, I got notes too.
I'd prefer the notes.
Okay, let's go with the notes then.
I guess. Let's start with COVID. Most disappointing news I've had on a drive home from work yet this year. Mike Williams added to the COVID list, where Keenan Allen was already added to the COVID list this week. So they're both out, most likely. Yeah. They're both vaccinated, I'm pretty sure, so they could get back-to-back negative tests. But the odds of that happening, since they both tested positive, are very low.
Correct.
Yeah, you were all prepped for Mike Williams to be the guy for you. And nope. Looks like it's Jalen Guyton time.
Yeah,
that's yeah. Sucks. I saw somebody picked him up.
Tyler.
Sure did. Sure did, buddy. That was probably right about the time Blake was on his way home is when I picked him up.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, that was annoying. Mark Ingram also tested positive, added to the COVID reserve list.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if Kamara's healthy. If Kamara's healthy, fine. That doesn't change much then. Kamara's just the guy. If not, I mean, Ty Montgomery in a really deep league, maybe? Gross.
Yeah, I agree. That would be terrible. I mean, yeah. I do have some extra news back if we back up a bit to Mike Williams. He's not vaccinated, and he does not have COVID. He's a close contact.
Okay.
So because he's unvaccinated, he has to wait 5 days. However, they dated back to the date of contact, which was Monday. So he has a chance, as long as he doesn't catch it, to be cleared for this weekend's game. So he's lucky they don't play Thursday.
All righty. That's some positive news.
So he's not ruled out.
Mixon missed practice today with a non-COVID illness. I don't know. I mean, he was out of the game last week and then back into the game like halfway through the game. I don't know.
I think that was like a knee thing, or he got hit weird. Yeah, I mean, illnesses seem to be going through the locker rooms. It's flu season, so.
Yeah, I mean, if there was no such thing as COVID, it'd just be out for illness, and you wouldn't blink an eye. I mean, right. But now you got to say it's a non-COVID illness, which drives me crazy.
And actually, you might, just because we've had a couple of players this year miss games with illness, non-COVID illness.
Well, so, and they have in the past. I mean, you get the flu, it's hard to play football. It's hard to play basketball. Ask Jordan.
Let's hit on a couple guys that are out for the season. Logan Thomas comes back, plays a full game, and then plays last week. I think that was his second game back, and then tears his knee apart. He's on IR, out for the season. Corey Davis having abdominal surgery. He's out for the season. And then Kenny Drake, broken ankle, also out for the season.
Yeah, I mean, and you see for fantasy, you see three actual pretty clear upgrades there. Corey Davis has been out for a couple of weeks now, right? yeah. or in and out. But Elijah Moore, Jameson Crowder, both of them become much more stable, I would say. For the Raiders, hey, fire up Josh Jacobs. I mean, he looks a lot better. And yeah, he's still going to seed work to those, you know, Jalen Richard, but probably not as much as he would to Drake. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, the other guy with multiple names, Ricky Seals-Jones. Washington has the easiest tight end schedule the rest of the way. We've been talking about how Philly is play your tight ends against them. And they play Philly twice in the last 4 weeks for fantasy. So fire up Ricky Seals-Jones if you got him.
Yeah, the bit I want to hit on with the Jets is Elijah Moore dealing with a thigh injury, I'm pretty sure is what it is. Not practicing this week. Questionable coming out of the game last week.
Yeah, it's his, quad by same difference. Quad,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've seen multiple people this year with quad injuries miss games. He's supposedly day-to-day, but for a guy that's quick and changes direction, I don't like that. I am an owner, and I don't have him in my lineup right now because, I can't afford to take a goose. So the Jets are kind of a little decimated right now.
Yeah, sticking with your lineup, Rob, couldn't find a follow-up story, but Damian Harris left the game on Monday night in the second quarter with a hamstring injury. Have we heard anything else?
I mean, he came back and played a little bit.
And then hurt it again.
So
he came back and played and was taking a run that any other game he would have taken to the house. It was a huge run. And then all of a sudden you just see that gimping and grabbing the hamstring. So yeah, I know in another league that I'm in, I have Ramondre Stevenson, and I'm prepared to fire him up this week.
They're on a bye this week.
But I'm prepared to fire him up coming out of the bye. You're just gonna have to monitor it with the bye week this week and see what happens.
Yeah, for me, since this is my last real week, I don't care.
Thielen's out.
Yeah,
Thielen ruled out. What is KJ Osborne?
Yes.
Fire him up.
And Tyler Conklin, I think, gets a bump.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think it's more dump-offs for Madison. You can see that. And obviously, Jefferson's going to get high usage.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You're about to see 15 targets a game for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Fire him up if you got it. Yeah. If you needed more incentive.
If you were wondering whether to start Justin Jefferson, I would say yes, especially now after this Thielen injury.
Yeah. If you were wondering.
These are the hard-hitting questions that you ask this fantasy podcast. Do I start Justin Jefferson?
I don't know.
Dave Montgomery popped up today on the injury report. Various issues is what I saw. Quite limited practice with, quote, various issues. I don't know what that means. What the hell is going on with Dave Montgomery?
Various issues.
That's always exciting. I don't know if you guys have answers. I'm just proposing that question into the ether. What the hell is going on? Because I'm not happy about it.
I honestly have no idea. I didn't hear anything about Montgomery today.
I haven't either, but it's officially cuffing season. So, those guys that are those high-end handcuffs, the Pollards, obviously Madison. Khalil Herbert, all these guys should be rostered at this point. Early in the season, it doesn't make sense to draft handcuffs in most circumstances because you're just wasting a roster spot for an entire year hoping for an injury. But now you got to have your handcuffs if they've hit the waiver wire in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I guess let's hit on that. The Cowboys. Zeke and Pollard.
I got news there.
I mean, it doesn't matter too much to me personally in this league because, like Tyler and I said, our matchups don't matter. This week we're shooting for points. But, I mean, for those few people in other leagues, or maybe we talk about our dynasties, you have both Zeke and Pollard. You got the handcuff for Zeke. Who the hell are you starting this week? Are you starting them both?
So, here's the thing with Zeke. He does have a knee injury. His latest MRI after the New Orleans game showed that his knee is improving. He cannot injure himself more. So what he's going to do is get better. Unfortunately, Pollard, who, you know, had the breakaway 50-some yard touchdown last week, has a foot injury this week and did not practice at all today, where Zeke practiced in full. So I think things are murky for this weekend, because if you were looking to play Pollard again for that big play, thinking, oh, Zeke's going to get, you know, teens carry 60 yards, maybe luckily a one-yard touchdown, that's the top I can get, but Pollard can break one. You might be lucky to get Pollard on the field, because the foot injury is bad for a guy with quicks like his. So I'm wary.
I think we're all in agreement that if you just needed safe points, you'd be playing Zeke, because Zeke always has the potential to get goal line.
Correct.
But at least going through the fantasy playoffs, Rob, or, you know, again, this week, if there wasn't the foot injury, would you be playing Pollard as a high upside guy?
100%. In another league, I had Pollard in till I found out the news today that he missed practice with the foot. In that one, I need floor. I don't need to shoot for the moon. Now, let's say you get past this week. Like, let's talk to Blake. He's got both. I don't know that I'd play Pollard this week. Depending what Zeke does, that would lead me in what direction, and Pollard's health and all that, which direction to go. I think this is going to be a thing that owners are going to be going back and forth up till game time for the entirety of the fantasy playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm happy that this is the only situation where I do have Zeke and Pollard. I have stayed away from him in both dynasty leagues, so I don't have to worry about that right now. And it's just nice that I'm in a situation where I don't need to get a win. But the points would have been nice. Let's see. Quarterbacks. Taysom Hill, probably leaning towards starting, even with that busted finger.
Yeah, they're saying that his mallet finger was not as bad as Russell Wilson's. And when Russell Wilson had his, you saw immediately that his joint wouldn't open back up. With Taysom, it wasn't that way. They were kind of messing with it on the sideline, kind of seeing what he could do. And then they just put a splint on it. So it didn't look as bad at the time. It sounds like it is not as bad, and it sounds like he's going to play. So especially in 4-point passing touchdown leagues, you got to fire up Taysom. He's got that opportunity for 100 yards like we saw last week on the ground.
Well, exactly. And, you know, Dallas's defense is a lot better than who they're playing this week, the Jets. Peyton said it's another chance for him to prove himself. So that pretty much says he's playing. So you've got to start him. Like Tyler said, he could be a top 10 quarterback because of that rushing.
Let me ask you this one, just because I'm in this situation in another league.
Yeah.
I'm basically in a win and get in scenario, standard league. So 4-point passing touchdown, 6-point rushing. I have Taysom as one option or Matthew Stafford at Arizona. Who do I play there?
So, oh God.
Stafford for me has basically been, you know, a guaranteed 20 points outside of the really bad San Francisco game. But like, yeah, last week,
who's your opponent playing at quarterback?
I don't know. I'd have to go look. But last week, even with 4 interceptions, Taysom was at 20 points. My opponent is playing Brady.
You know, you might have to shoot for the moon.
Yeah, just
because you know that Stafford could pull one of his 225, 2 picks and 1 touchdown to Cooper Kupp games. That doesn't really help you. I don't know. I would hate to be in that situation. I'm in a situation where I got to decide on Cam Newton or Taysom Hill. And yeah, Taysom Hill, once he got the start, that was like, okay, sold. Yeah.
So you just said that Matt Stafford might end with like 225, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Last time played Arizona.
I said 2 picks and 1 touchdown.
Oh, okay. Well, last time he played Arizona, he was 280, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. So I was going to give you credit, but not anymore.
Okay, well, fine.
Justin Fields is cleared to play, and he's going to get the start.
I mean, yeah, he's their future, obviously. They're not doing anything by starting Andy Dalton, and they're not making the playoffs. So I guess that makes sense. I don't know if I like playing at Green Bay after being off for quite a while, and Green Bay's coming off a bye. But
and that that should be a snow game. We should see a lot of snow in the upper Midwest this weekend.
Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers that we get some here in the middle Midwest.
No, disagree.
Yeah.
Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Do not click that bell.
Davis Mills is getting the start over Tyrod Taylor. I mean, it's like very likely. I don't know.
I mean, same thing we said about Chicago. You know what? They're not going to keep Tyrod Taylor to be a mediocre quarterback next year. They got to see what Mills has got. You know, they might blow that whole team up. The Texans just need to trade Watson, get some assets, and start this thing over.
I saw a report today. Russ said he would be open to trades to Denver, New Orleans, or the Giants, because the Giants are my headlining news today.
Please don't Giants.
Starting Jake State Fromm.
What state is he from?
State Fromm.
Yeah, I mean, this news is largely irrelevant for the immediate future because the trade deadline is already passed. So that's next year's problem. Right. We'll see what happens in the offseason. We've been talking about how I
don't want him to go to the Giants. Please. Please, yeah. Russ. Go to Denver. Please.
Yeah,
you'll help my dynasty team if you go to Denver.
I can see Denver.
I mean, Denver is going to get one of these vet quarterbacks. I don't know who, but they're going to get somebody. They have to. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
That's bingo.
All right. Anything news or noteworthy that I have missed before we move into our league?
Hey, what would you guys think about a three-way trade here? Russ goes to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, and Seattle gets a bunch of draft capital. Russ is younger than Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't have the animosity there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It'd work out for everybody, I think.
I mean, the way Seattle's kind of structured right now, I mean, Bobby Wagner is the oldest part of that team, and otherwise they have a lot of young pieces around, throughout the defense and the offense. So I don't – not terrible sounding.
So it's super possible because Seattle could think they can strike gold like they did with Russ as a fourth round pick, and they could have it in their heads, we could find a quarterback easy. And, they get a bunch of draft picks and they throw darts at the wall and see what sticks. So yeah, you're not crazy. I mean, you're crazy, but not this.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Seattle would get like Teddy Bridge back or something like that. Just,
can we just not have Teddy Bridge play mediocre quarterback?
But I'm saying for just another
goddamn team,
just like how they did when they drafted Russell Wilson. They had just signed Matt Flynn to a monster contract, and then they're like, "Oh, that. Nope, sorry,
fuck it." No, I'm done with Teddy Bridge being a bridge. I know that's his name, but stop being a quarterback bridge. Do something with your life, Teddy. Tired of it.
All right, let's hit waivers real quick.
Waivers.
All right, so not a ton to talk about here. Tyler added KJ Osborne for $19 with no other bids. I mean, Tyler, you had Fab to spare, so really, what does it matter?
Yeah, I had $11 left, so I just went.
And we talked about why that's a thing because Thielen's out, so.
Yep.
Rob added the Saints for $8, Keg bid $3, and Sunday School tried to throw in a $0 bid.
Yeah, and I did that because I had $8 left, and I'm not going to be making any moves after this week, obviously, because I'm out of the playoffs. And I did it to keep people from having that defense. Fuck you.
Fuck you. Seals Jones attempted twice to Tyler for $3.
Yeah, no, I had my claims stacked up, so
yeah. Yep. And then I like the three claims for $0 for Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, well, I stacked them up. See, KJ Osborne, I put in a claim and I had an empty bench spot, but then if I didn't get KJ Osborne, I wanted to get the next guy with my empty bench slot and go from
spot?
There. Yeah,
the spot.
So yeah, you gotta stack up your claims.
All right.
Yeah, that nothing else really to hit. I mean, Deonta Foreman added for $0. Garoppolo added for $1. Nothing too crazy there.
Nope.
All right. Our next segment, I'm going to break down our current standings here. as far as points go. Top, let's go. We'll do top four.
I would go out to six.
Well, I'm going to highlight the top four because we're all in the same hundred zone, and then we'll see who's in the hunt. So number one, free out of the Hogs at 1981. Second is Sunday School at 1936. Fourth is T at 1924.
That would be third.
Third, and then fourth. Sorry, he's fourth in the overall rankings. And then fourth place is 1902 at the Snakes. So as far as, you know, selfishly it goes, I'm 80 points out of first, but I'm looking at only 30 points out of second place.
Yeah, behind, I mean, Hogs just really needs to not collapse this week to get it. I mean, if he scores over 100, then he should have it pretty much locked up, right?
Yeah.
Outside of that, yeah, it's really up in the air. And even if you go down below you, myself and Kegerator are within, we're both within 100 points of third. Like I said, I have the luxury of just shooting for the moon and trying to score 250 this week and crossing my fingers. And Kegerator is, he doesn't, but yeah, crazier things have happened. If we put up, you know, really good weeks, then we could bounce into the top three.
Yeah. It's going to be, it has the potential to be very fluid here in the top, top four to top five spots here. So that'll be interesting. After the Reapers, who's at sitting at 1834, we have a pretty significant drop off to 1708 at Blightfish, and then it just gets sad from there. So,
yeah. How am I? Never mind. Never mind.
All right, Rob, you don't even have the most points scored against you, so you can't even complain about that.
Yeah, you know who that is yet again? This guy.
Tyler.
I mean, fuck, I'm top three in good points against, and I'm not that far behind you, so that always happens to me.
I mean, I'm not that far behind you guys. I'm only 40 points out.
Yeah, normally I have the keg treatment where I score decently but have, like, no points scored against me.
Oh, yeah, and of course Nate is at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, get out of here. That's so infuriating. Yeah, I don't know. Gross. Nate is like the best defensive coordinator ever in fantasy football, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
No, he just catches people at the right time.
Ah, that's infuriating.
Oh, he always plays people when they have their best two players on a fucking bye, or somebody's gotten hurt. Oh, what? Tom Brady's hurt? Oh, I'm playing Tyler. You know,
last thing I wanted to hit while looking at this screen was the moves, just because I saw them before we started recording the podcast today.
Oh, yeah, they're gross.
It's disgusting. I mean, I have 22 roster moves. That's just adding and dropping players, I believe.
It's adding, dropping players and trades.
Trades.
Yeah.
I have 22. Tyler has 39. Rob has 47. Those are relatively normal numbers for each of us. Nick has 82.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you add and drop four players within an hour.
Right.
And you add players for big fab money and then drop them 2 seconds later because you're like, I don't know if I should have done that or not.
I had to mention that just because it was so out of this world.
Time for the matchups!
Game.
Interesting. Was not prepared for that one. Yeah, our first matchup today is going to be the nothing matchup. You know, the shoot for the moon matchup, the mortar, the catapult matchup. What do you want to call it? No implications on positioning or anything like that. Reapers at 8-5 have already secured a bye, and the Hot Snakes at 9-4 have also secured a bye. Just have Tyler take me through your starting lineup. I'll take us through my starting lineup, and then we'll shoot it over to Rob and see if he would change anything.
Yeah, the only way this matchup determines anything is if I win and outscore you by 70 points. And if that happens, then I get the one seed and you get the two seed. So, or no. Yeah. That's correct. So that's the only implication. Yeah, so at quarterback, I'm starting Tom Brady versus Buffalo. I'm also starting Mike Evans versus Buffalo at receiver. I don't love that because they, you know, Buffalo's defense is pretty good. But I'm not benching either one of those guys. At running backs, I'm starting Darrell Henderson Jr. currently at Arizona. Going to watch that for, you know, matchup news. And Saquon Barkley at the Chargers. At receivers, I'm starting CeeDee Lamb at Washington, the aforementioned Mike Evans, KJ Osborne versus Pittsburgh, and Donovan Peoples-Jones versus Baltimore, who just lost Marlon Humphrey. So I feel good about the Cleveland passing game this week. At tight end, we talked about Ricky Seals-Jones. I like him against Dallas. And at defense, I'm playing the Seahawks at Houston.
All righty. So I got Matt Stafford at Arizona at quarterback. David Montgomery at Green Bay with that questionable tag. We'll be monitoring that one. I also have Nick Chubb coming off the bye against Baltimore. Tyreek Hill against Vegas. And then Amari Cooper at Washington. Rob Gronkowski against Buffalo. Zeke at Washington. That's where I'm sitting right now. With the Mike Williams news, I threw in Jarvis Landry, who's also questionable. He always is. He's against Baltimore. And then I got the Cowboys defense at Washington for my defense.
Yeah, so Rob, would you change anything on either of our sides to go for points? Because that's all either one of us cares about.
I've obviously got a lot of question marks that are going to be solved maybe hopefully by Sunday morning as far as who's going to start, who's out, who's questionable, injuries.
All right. So we know Swift's not going to play. Jamal Williams is a good play, but Denver's a good defense. And you're to get points, you're hoping on catches, where the Chargers are a run funnel defense. And if Saquon is good, which he should be, if he can't come right here, he can't come at all. So I actually do like that play.
What did he say?
The Chargers are a run funnel defense. And if Saquon is good, which he should be, if he can't come right here, he can't come at all. So I actually do like that play. Ricky Seals-Jones, I get it why over Kyle Pitts, because Carolina is very good against the tight end, correct?
Yeah, they're good in general.
Plus, you know, ever since it's been just Kyle Pitts, you know, they just double him and say, hey, you know, beat us, the rest of you losers. So I don't know that I'd change anything. You don't really have me. I guess if Mike Williams is really ruled out, I might put Guyton in.
Yeah, and that was why I picked him up.
Instead of Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I picked him up, but we'll see there. But overall, yeah, I don't think there's much that I can really do, considering my goal this week is to get 30 out of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, so what about my team? I mean, did you break my team down? I wasn't really paying attention to you.
I have not mentioned your team yet. I would love to play Rashad Bateman instead of Jarvis Landry, but after a gooser last week, I can see why you'd be shy in playing him. Brown came alive in that win.
I am just very wary. Yeah, I'm just very wary of the Lions receivers, just because we talked about it last week that Minnesota gives up everything to receivers and shuts down tight ends. So I think we get more of a correction and it goes back to Hockenson, less to the receivers, and go from there.
So Sam Brown's on this roster because I picked him up after I got the Mike Williams news.
Oh, there you go.
Literally the only reason. And then also 10 targets last week, or 12 targets.
So here's the thing. Obviously, if Williams is cleared, he goes in instead of Landry, and this changes your lineup dramatically. Especially with the fact that Keenan Allen's probably out. So that's it. Just that flex spot is the only thing I think I would change. And it can get changed for you based on news you get throughout the week. So,
all right. So, Tyler, what do you think? Do we want to take this matchup just for the stats' sake?
Yeah, we have to. Yeah,
and the dice got to do it too.
Oh, by the way, last week me and the dice went 2-3. You both went 4-1.
Yeah, baby.
That brings Blake and I to a tie on the year, and the dice are 0.005 behind us.
And how much am I ahead?
By like 5%.
Yeah, fuck you guys. Let's go.
Hey, you want to get stupid? Let's do a D4 this week.
Cool.
Yeah, do it.
All right, let's see. Dice. Roll a 3.
That'll be snakes.
Yep.
I mean, I'll take snakes. Why not? I need to take bigger shots than Blake does this week.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to take snakes just because the probability is that he wins, but you have shots that if they come, you know, if all of a sudden KJ Osborne comes through Thursday night with a big game, his biggest game of the year, it could happen. People show, you know, it could happen, but the probability is with Blake. So
snakes. Yep, I'll take snakes as well. It would be fun just to see Tyler get stomped on by a true division leader.
Queen sweep.
Go for it. I truly do not care if you stomp on me this week. Right. It will not hurt my feelings at all. And I have a whole extra week to bench my whole team and let them recover.
Yes, because that's definitely how it works. 100%.
Yeah.
It is.
Every time I get the bye, I bench my entire team. You can't send them out there on a week that they don't have to play.
Ooh, that's silly. That's just crazy. That's not coaching.
All right. Our second matchup is not really having playoff contentions. However, it is going to play into who gets last place.
Oh, great.
We got the 4-8-1 Scary Terry up against the 7-6 Kegerator. Currently, as it sits now, Kegerator's favored by 22.
Yep. So like Blake said, for Scary Terry, if he wins, he guarantees Rob gets last place. If he loses and Rob wins, then Terry gets last place on the year and gets renamed. As far as Kegerator goes, he's 99.9% into the playoffs. The only way he does not make the playoffs is if he loses, Kicker Points Matter wins, and also outscores Kegerator by 180 points. So that's the only way Kegerator misses the playoffs here. So realistically, it's a bye week for Kegerator as far as
realistically, yes.
I mean, you're still playing for seeding, obviously, right. But with how close everything is, I'm not giving seeding breakdowns this year. Not doing it.
And to have more than a 500 record, right?
True.
It's better to be 8-6 than 7-7. So,
okay. So looking at this matchup, Terry has Lamar Jackson playing like ass recently at Cleveland versus Aaron Rodgers. Didn't mention this in the news and notes, but still dealing with that toe. Didn't practice today again. He hasn't been practicing very much recently, so I don't know how much to read into that, but they're playing against at home against Chicago.
Zero. Read zero. He played on a regular week without practicing, and he got a bye week, so no concern there. I'm sorry, God. I wouldn't have said this earlier in the year, but you were right about Lamar. And Cleveland is a decent defense. Give me Aaron Rodgers here.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers loves nothing more than shitting down the throats of Bears fans.
100% true.
So give me Rodgers.
He hates the Bears.
Yeah.
And I think Cleveland actually wins this game and does a decent job of shutting Lamar down in general.
Plus the Packers, Chicago is a Sunday night home game. Yeah, he'll be ready to throw down.
Yeah, I hope. I'm just hoping Dave Montgomery gets his shit together that night or by then. So in the snow, he can have a solid game on the ground. But running backs, James Conner against the Rams and Devin Singletary at Tampa for Terry versus Aaron Jones. What the hell do we think about that? And then Antonio Gibson, who's getting all the work against Dallas.
Yeah, this is way too easy. It's Gibson and Jones.
The matchup's a landslide, but what's going on with Aaron Jones? Let's break that one down just for a couple minutes.
I mean, he's back and supposedly healthy, but is he the true alpha there now? Because
reason why I bring this up is because even before he was shaken up, he was still ceding a lot of carries to AJ Dillon.
Yeah, and I think that will continue. I think they will split carries. So, well, if it would have been anybody else but Devin Singletary in this lineup, you know, I might have evened it out. But we saw what Gibson did against the Cowboys last year. Oh, my God. They're a better defense. But Gibson is still going to get all the play. So it's pretty easy. Okay, Raider here.
Yeah, and on top of that, Chase Edmonds should be back this week. So that hurts James Conner. Although I think James Conner has earned to have the higher workload and Chase Edmonds be relegated back to what he was. But yeah, I think Aaron Jones, you're going to get a max of like 15 carries out of Aaron Jones from here on out. You just have to hope that the receptions are there. You just have to hope he gets back to, you know, getting 15 carries and getting six receptions, whereas Dylan gets, you know, 10 or 15 carries on that end. And you got to hope it stays at like a 60-40 split and doesn't go down to 50-50.
Yep, I agree.
All righty, let's move into receivers. We got Stephon Diggs at Tampa, same game as Singletary, and then Chris Godwin against Buffalo for Terry. Debo Samuel's in this lineup for Keg at Cincinnati. I don't think he's going to be playing. He was held out of practice again this week. Then we're looking at Brandon Cooks against Seattle with that rookie quarterback starting.
Man, the only thing with Debo is San Francisco is once again in running back injury hell. And if Debo plays, I think for like the third straight time he's played, he's going to be the starting running back for San Francisco.
I don't think he plays, though. I don't think he plays. Right.
I don't think he does either. But if he does, I think you can rely on him. I think you can count on him. But as it stands right now, give me Diggs and Godwin fairly easily. I think Buffalo tries to get their offense back going after that awesome Monday night game that we saw. And you know, I don't think it's a Godwin week because he just had his week. And, you know, they do like to rotate it around a little bit. So I do see some regression coming there. But, yeah, I think it's still Diggs and Godwin.
Agreed 100%. I think Samuel being in this lineup is just wishful thinking. I think it's Cooks and somebody from the bench. And given that, it's Diggs and Godwin by a landslide for me.
You know, tight ends. Sorry, my voice is getting all janky right now.
That's all right.
George Kittle at Cincinnati. George Kittle put up a monster game last week
versus Buck Darren 82. Waller.
Yeah. Darren Waller at Kansas City. Darren Waller is shaking up still.
Yeah. Probably not going to play. I doubt he does. And like you just said, Kittle coming off the big game. And you got to balance these things. Debo's not going to play. Kittle's going to get all the love. Waller's not going to play. This is easy, Kittle. I'm worried if I'm Keg Raider or Rob, who wants Chris to lose.
Yeah, it's Kittle.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at some more question marks in the flex. Kenny Golladay at the Chargers. Questionable. I don't know. He's been – what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for?
Hot garbage.
Fucking useless. There we go.
There you go.
This year in football. Jacoby Myers currently on this team on a bye in the flex, so we'll have to analyze that one in a second. But on Keg Raider side, we got Darnell Mooney at Green Bay and then Russell Gage at Carolina. Russell Gage had an impressive show last week and rode Keg Raider's bench. You know, that was fun for him.
Yeah, and I don't think he I don't think he repeats that. You know, he's going to have either Gilmore or Horn on him all game. So, and Russell Gage is not a good enough receiver to take that kind of coverage. I still think he'll probably get six targets still, you know, and you just got to hope that he does something with them. But
is this week Horn's first week back, or was last week his first week back off injury?
I don't recall.
A week or two ago.
Yeah. I mean, Mooney is good. I certainly don't mind him. And it just with how it stands now, I got to give it to Mooney.
I mean, yeah. I mean, with Gage, you're a day late and a dollar short. Should have played him last week. This week, like you said, I don't like him against Carolina. I do like Mooney, especially with the quarterback change in Chicago, where, you know, the new starter, who was the old starter, who was the new starter, prefers Mooney. I hate Golladay, and obviously Myers is on a bye. So, yeah, you got to go that way. You got to go Mooney and Gage. So we get two benches, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So our defense quick is Ravens at Cleveland. I don't feel good about that. And then we got Chiefs against Vegas. I mean, Chiefs are at home. I don't feel great about either of these defenses.
Chiefs are hot right now on defense.
Yeah. Chiefs are great right now.
Yeah, making turnovers. Even if they give up some yards to Vegas, they're going to pick six. They're going to get a sack fumble. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I guess you're You're right this time. And the Raiders have not been looking good for the last like 5 weeks.
No, although they are starting to turn it back around now with D-Jax kind of in that Henry Ruggs role. They have that field stretcher back. But no, I mean, Kansas City, I heard somebody talking about it where they said, look at what happened with Kansas City. They started off with three defensive linemen, Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, and Frank Clark. All three were hurt at the beginning of the year. One of the guys started the year, but didn't have a preseason, so he was just getting into game shape. And then they've gotten those two guys back, and that's really when this Chiefs defense has turned it around, having their full defensive line. So I don't think it's an anomaly that they've been hot. I think it truly is them getting healthy at the right time. So, yeah, give me Chiefs easy. And I actually like the Chiefs defense going into the fantasy playoffs, having Chargers, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
All right, so before we move into the benches, I mean, I'm gonna assign each of you a bench like normal, but I forgot to mention Dalvin Cook. He's on Terry's bench. Dalvin Cook returned to practice this week.
Limited, will not play.
He's limited. They haven't ruled him out, I don't think, officially yet for this week.
No, they're playing the coach speak game, or they're playing maybe Dalvin Cook will play. You better plan for him. No, he's not playing.
And that's exactly what I was alluding to. He hasn't been ruled out yet. He's going to be out this week.
He'll
be back next week. But, I mean,
there would be a slight chance if this was a Sunday game. Based on the fact that it's a Thursday game, no way he plays.
Yeah, he might be back next week, and unfortunately for Chris, that doesn't matter for him. But for people who listen to this, who have other leagues, other teams, Dalvin Cook's not playing this week. Don't count on it.
Right. So, all right.
Let's throw. This is naughty. Rob, what is Chris's best team that he can play?
The current one that he has going. His best bet. I mean, obviously, you got to replace Jacoby Myers. You could throw in Mike Davis if you want. You could throw in Tyler Boyd, though Boyd hasn't done shit. It's been the Higgins show. You could throw in Rondale Moore if you want to. I just don't like the giant receivers. I would replace both. Maybe take a shot on Pringle. You know, maybe he breaks one. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good options.
Yeah, not a lot to choose from.
You got to make a choice, but there's not a lot of good options. You just can't play the two guys you have in your flex right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at Jared Cook. He's a little bit up and down.
Here's what I would do. Jacoby Myers and Jonnu Smith. That's who I'd play if I was Chris in the flex. That's who I would play.
I would also, if I were Chris, I would take a gander at the waiver wire. I mean, there's not a lot there at running back for sure. But last I looked, Marvin Jones Jr. is still there. There's a couple of receivers out there that you can take a shot on if you don't feel real confident.
Yeah. Play three new people, please.
There's got to be somebody better than Devin Singletary out there.
I mean, I'm better than Devin Singletary out there. Oh, shit.
Tyler, your favorite listener, Nate. What's he going to do?
Yeah, so I'm also really rooting for Nate to just collapse, score like 12 points and have kicker points matters, go like for 200, and Nate lose two games in a row and miss the playoffs, because that would just be peak choking Nate.
Yeah.
However, it's not going to happen. His quarterback and running backs are way too good. Yeah. I mean, first of all, use your fucking IR. You have Thielen out already. Put him in your IR and pick somebody up, for God's sakes. I don't know. I don't think there are many options, though. You're going to have to play Higbee instead of Waller if he doesn't play, but that's really gross. I hope you can pick up a different tight end. And I don't think you can count on Hilliard with what's his face coming back?
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice if we could, you know, say his name out loud. Jeremy McNichols.
McNichols.
But I mean, you might.
Debo's not playing. Debo's not going
to
play.
Right. So you might be forced to play him. Same thing. You got to go look at the waiver wire and just see. But yeah, both of these teams are in garbage land right now.
Yeah. It's going to be bad.
All right. So, Rob, who's winning?
Well, because Debo's not going to play and Waller's not going to play, and he's going to have to put in, like Tyler said, a hot pile of garbage at receiver and Higbee at tight end. But we've got Clutch there. I assume he replaces that. You know what? I'm going to have to go to Terry. Tyler. Because even though I like Kick Raiders running backs, I think the pieces that Terry can replace, I think he wins.
Yeah, I'm going Keg Raider, and it comes down to the places where Keg Raider wins, he wins big. Like at running back, like at defense, even. So I'm going his way.
The dice have decided to roll a three, so that is Keg Raider.
Correct.
And I will take Terry. Go Terry.
Woo! Spicy.
Okie dokesters. Next matchup is the other end of this guy. So we got CI Whitefish sitting at 4-9 versus Testicle T at 7-6. Same exact deal as the Keg and Terry matchup. Not a lot of playoff implications for T. However, if T wins, Rob's out or Rob's last.
Yeah, no, T's playoff things are exactly the same as Keg Raider, except kicker points matter would have to outscore Testicle T by 260 points, outscore him. So yeah, no, T is in the playoffs. It's just a matter of seeding. And I'm really glad that Blake is on his phone, so I suppose I will lead us into this matchup. Since Blake
just hold on a second. You were supposed to talk for literally like four more seconds. I was texting somebody important.
Oh. All right, let's roll.
I think you said the quarterbacks, Tyler, trying to hijack my bullshit. Dak Prescott for CI Whitefish at Washington versus Taysom Hill at the Jets for T.
Yeah, in our league, Taysom isn't quite the cheat code he is in other leagues because normally he's not going to hit the bonus of 100 yards rushing. You know, I think he's going to finish in that 60-70 range, and he's not going to hit the bonus passing. So give me Dak easy. I think Taysom, while we glow about him and his opportunity for other leagues, it's just not the same for us.
Yeah, and I mean, Dak's been extremely solid all year, so you're not going to have a problem starting him. Running backs, we got Alexander Mattison home against Pittsburgh, and then Javonte Williams against Detroit. Melvin Gordon did return to practice this week versus Elijah Mitchell. Concussion, I believe, is why he's got the questionable tag. There we go. And then Josh Jacobs at Kansas City, who's, like we said, doesn't have Kenyon Drake anymore.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell is actually dealing with both a knee and a concussion, although he got good news on the knee today. So it's really just, can he pass concussion protocol? Man, Melvin Gordon, we need you fully healthy, Melvin Gordon. Why don't you just sit one more week? Let's see what Javonte can do here, because I just want to see Javonte Williams against that terrible Denver or Detroit defense.
Oh my God, yeah.
As it stands right now, I'm going to go Madison and Williams, but if Williams is splitting and Mitchell plays, then give me Mitchell and Jacobs.
Oh, yeah, I can't let my own biases affect this one. It's Madison and Williams as it stands. And I don't think Gordon's going to play. I think if he does, he's going to be on a snap count. So even then, I'll give Madison and Williams anyway.
But again, like I said earlier, never mind. I was looking at the wrong one. Forget that.
Right. Receivers. We got Cooper Kupp at Arizona and Jamar Chase against San Francisco. Tyler, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that Cincinnati passing offense versus DeAndre Hopkins against the Rams and then Terry McScorin, more like Terry McQuestionmark against Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overly concerned about Cincinnati. They did what we thought they were going to do last week, and it was Mixon that got the work, and the receivers didn't get much. I mean, that's what we predicted going in, so I'm not overly worried, and I think the panic surrounding Jamar Chase managers right now is just, it's because he started so hot, and in Rob's case, I think he traded for him while he was at peak value. You just can't expect a guy to go out and score or get 200 yards a game. He'll be fine. And he has Baltimore in the fantasy playoffs, which doesn't matter for Rob, but may matter for somebody else. As it stands right now, Hopkins is going to get Ramsey. McScorin should be fine against Dallas. we always say Dallas is good. Dallas is prone to the big play. But man, Cooper Kupp is going to get his, you know, 15 targets after buying breakfast for Matthew Stafford. Give me Hopkins and McLaurin by a hair.
McLaurin's not looked great. I mean, and the reason why I brought up the Cincinnati passing offense is Ja'Marr Chase hasn't been a focal point of it since the bye. I mean, it's been T. Higgins.
Well, that one play where Chase got behind and tipped it backwards for an interception.
Right.
If he just catches that, that's a 70-yard touchdown. We're not talking about that.
Yeah, this is totally conjecture on my part. I have no data to back this up, but I would bet that Ja'Marr Chase's air yards point to him being just fine. It's just he's just not coming down with the points.
He just screwed that one, yeah.
No, and I'm not saying that he's a bust in fantasy in general. I just as far as like a redraft league goes, I don't know if you can trust him as much as you wanted to before they went into their bye week.
Well, yeah, but they were also going into their bye week, and he had scored gotten 200 yards 3 weeks before, and he had only been under 10 points once.
Right. So, and that's what I'm saying. You're looking at him as a top eight receiver easy. And since then he's been outside what, the top 15 probably.
Yeah. I'm not worried.
I don't know. I just, if you have Ja'Marr Chase and you're not Rob, I would be more worried than you would think you should be.
Well, let's ask Rob, because Rob also has him in Dynasty and is in the playoffs in that one. So how worried are you going into the fantasy playoffs with Ja'Marr Chase?
Not at all.
Thank you.
In fact, you know who I'm more worried about in my Dynasty League? Terry McLaurin.
I mean, yeah, I think that's valid too.
Last four games, he's gotten 11. I mean, in our league, let's say 11, 26, 9, and 5. I'm not happy with that production.
See, I'm low-key annoyed in a Dynasty League because I have both Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm annoyed that Ja'Marr Chase – or not that T. Higgins is getting scores when he wasn't all year long. I mean, I'm annoyed that one of them scoring. Neither of them should be scoring. Damn it, I'm trying to lose.
Anyway,
let's move on and get the hell out of this hole. We got tight ends. Dawson Knox at Tampa Bay for Whitefish versus T.J. Hockenson. Questionable at Denver.
This is really easy, and it's Dawson Knox. Denver is great against the tight end. Tampa Bay is not great against the tight end. And I think they're obviously Hockenson is more of a focal point of the offense, but it's not by a ton.
Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said early in this podcast when we were talking about Amon-Ra St. Brown, that a lot of the targets are going to go to Hockenson this week.
No, I said that Minnesota was the best matchup in the league against wide receivers. And so if you have anything less than that, it's going to regress and be more Hockenson. That's not saying that Hockenson has a good matchup this week. It's just saying that the wide receivers are going from having the best matchup in the entire league to having the 24th best matchup in the entire league. Denver's defense is just good.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. Flexes. Tyler Lockett at Houston and Dalton Schultz at Washington for Fish versus Jerry Jeudy against Detroit and Chase Claypool at Minnesota for T.
Yeah. So there you go. Minnesota, start all your receivers against them. So good with Chase Claypool there. Move him up to your wide receiver spot though. Jerry Jeudy, I can't trust any Denver pass catcher right now. There's just not enough to go around, and they're spreading it evenly. So you're just not going to be happy with anybody there. So give me Lockett and Schultz.
Yeah, definitely take this moment in the podcast to remind everybody, if you have a Thursday night player that you're starting, put him into the, you know, out of the flex is the general strategy on that one.
Generally.
Defense, Saints at Jets for Fish versus Titans at Jags, or no, home against Jags for T. There you go.
Boy, Jacksonville's been the better matchup season long. However, that is with the Jets having a couple of big games from Mike White, that sort of thing. I don't particularly love either of these defenses. So I'm going to go with the old Rob tiebreaker of who's at home, Tennessee. Give me Tennessee.
All righty. We'll do benches. Rob, why don't you tell me about your bench? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? And right, then so I'll have Tyler take Knicks.
All right, so two spots. If Elijah Moore is cleared and off the injury report before the weekend, he goes in instead of Dalton Schultz. The only reason Schultz is in there is because of Moore. Also, talking about that home thing, I might play the Packers against Chicago. The reason I was playing the Saints is because of all the let's say Elijah Moore is out. Let's say that who's the guy that's been their running back, Tyler, recently who's hurt now?
Carter or Coleman.
Coleman. Coleman's questionable too. Let's say Coleman and Elijah Moore are both out for this game. We already know that Corey Davis is out. They have nobody.
Right.
So then I'm playing the Saints against their nobodies.
Yeah, I.
So
you got two rookie quarterbacks. Yeah. I just think the Packers' defense is better, and they're at home. So
yeah. So I'm by the end of the week, I will decide whether I'm going to switch the Packers for the
Saints. And
everywhere I looked at the number one and number two defenses.
Cam Jordan is also out.
Is he for sure out?
He was also I think he was either a positive or a close contact with Mark Ingram.
Oh, great. Okay, well then maybe I put the Packers in.
Yeah. As far as Knicks bench goes, I mean, you got to start Kyler against the Rams. First of all, don't get cute, dude.
I know why he's doing it, because of the rushing.
Yeah, but don't get cute. Kyler is going to put up just as good of a rushing line as Taysom is going to, and then actually has potential through the air. Outside of that, I mean, you could I would definitely start Jamichael Hasty over Jerry Jeudy. Although I guess you're going to flip him in if Elijah Mitchell's out. So that makes sense.
There you go.
So now I see why Jerry Jeudy's in, because there are no other options on this team right now. No, there you go.
Yeah, why the hell are you starting Kyler Murray? I mean, sitting Kyler Murray.
Because Taysom Hill put up 41 points and Nick just loves the recent hotness.
Taysom points, always a great, great strategy. Yeah.
I mean, they are playing the Jets, which is the worst defense than Dallas. So I get that.
I am putting out into the ether. Nick, I will do a $5 bet with you. Kyler versus Taysom Hill this upcoming weekend. Text me if you're in.
Flat up who scores more?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll take the Kyler side of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm
doing. That's what he's doing. But do it, Nick. Do it.
I'm in. Right. I mean, all I'm saying is I'm in.
All right, who's winning?
You're not in on this. You're not eating into my bet.
Yeah, let me eat.
Right.
Dice rolled a one. They're taking T.
Wow.
Boy, I really would love to see Rob lose this matchup. And I definitely think it's possible, especially with Kyler in there. And if T gets some clarity in this San Francisco backfield, if it is. Jamichael Hasty getting all the work. That makes this really, really close. I just think everything
goes against me this year.
The biggest hole in this matchup is Jerry Jeudy against Detroit. Give me Fish. I don't love it, but I would sure like Nick to win.
Right.
So let's see, if Terry wins and Fish wins, Terry wins or wins the match because he has a tie, correct?
Correct. If Terry wins, Rob is in last.
Yeah, if Terry wins, it doesn't matter.
I think
what's going to happen is we both win, and I'm screwed.
I think Terry's going to win, and then Whitefish is also going to win in spite of it, and then
be bad. And so my first two-win streak in a row, and I still will be the last place.
Yes. So the thing is, we should know the outcome of Scary Terry versus Kegerator, because the only Monday night player in that matchup currently is James Conner, right? And we already talked about how we don't think he's going to be, you know, great.
Right.
However, on Rob and T, Cooper Kupp and DeAndre Hopkins on Monday night. So this could be one where if, especially if Terry loses or is losing going into Monday night, and all of a sudden we're watching going, who's in last? Who's in last? And just getting ready to roast somebody. This could be a fun Monday night.
Yeah, Rob, did you see who you're taking?
Yeah, I'm taking. No, you didn't end up picking.
Oh, I did. You talked over me. I said I'm taking Fish.
Oh, T, because why change now?
Yeah, you. If you continue this trend of always picking against yourself next year too, after it definitely didn't work this year, I'm gonna hurt you.
It worked this year.
What do you mean it definitely didn't work this year? It did. Because that's why he's winning 2021.
Okay, well, no, let's pause right here. His reasoning for picking against himself last year was that, oh, I just kept on winning, and I was like 10-2 or whatever the fuck the thing was. And his mentality this year is, oh, I'm just going to keep picking against myself because I'm doing good in the picks. Fuck your face. All right, next matchup is going to be we got some playoff contentions here, some implications. Let's go Kicker Points Matter at 6-7 versus the Fighting Hedgehogs at 7-5-1. Currently, Kicker Points favored by 20 points.
All right, so for playoff implications, Hogs are in. At this point, it's just seeding. Whether they finish, they can finish between 3-6. Kicker Points Matter. If they lose, they're out. If Kicker Points Matter wins, then we go to our next matchup, which is Christian Sunday School versus Touch on My Pants. If Christian Sunday School wins, Kicker Points Matter is out unless he outscores them by, you know, we talked about Testicle T and Kegerator, how he would have to outscore them. Same thing with CSS. He would have to outscore CSS by like 300 points. Right. But if Pants wins, they're almost tied in points. So all he has to do is outscore points. Our Pants this week in order to make the playoffs.
So he's got to win.
He has to win no matter what to make it. But right. then we go into, you know, tight.
All right.
Yeah. So just as a quick aside, the boxers division this year, it looks like we're going to have four teams make the playoffs.
Four.
Yeah. Out of the five teams in the division. Which is just crazy in of itself. Anywhoozy, this matchup, Kicker Points Matter, has Jimmy Garoppolo, just picked him up at Cincinnati at quarterback, versus Pat Mahomes against Vegas.
It's easy. Come on, Mahomes.
Mahomes played kind of like shit last week.
Doesn't matter. It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, Mahomes has been bad for a couple of weeks now.
Don't care.
It's just that Garoppolo's ceiling is like 25 points.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean,
going in the Chiefs' favor is last time they played the Raiders. Granted, they were at the Raiders. Now they're at home. So maybe that's not even granted. But Mahomes threw for over 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, and Mahomes has actually been bad at home this year. But, give me Mahomes. Garoppolo could definitely win this matchup, but Mahomes could blow Garoppolo out of the water, and Garoppolo does not have that potential.
Alrighty, running backs. Austin Eckler, who's questionable against the Giants, and then James Robinson, who's questionable at Tennessee for Kicker Points, versus Jonathan Taylor, who's on a bye, and Cordarrelle Patterson, who's at Carolina.
Ah, good. The old bye player. So let's take a look-see. Let's call it Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Or Kareem Hunt. It could be either one.
Well, let's call it CEH, because then we'll get into then we'll have to replace both flexes. So CEH and Cordarrelle Patterson versus Austin Eckler and James Robinson.
Yeah.
I think all of these running backs are going to have to be involved. Giants are not good against the running back this year. Tennessee is very good against the running back. Patterson, it kind of is in that hybrid role, so we know he's going to get work, but Carolina is just good in general. And CEH, Vegas is terrible against the running back. So two good matchups on each side, matchups. In that case, I think Cordarrelle has the better chance of just getting something. So give me Patterson and CEH.
Agreed 100%.
Yeah, scintillating coverage from Rob as always.
Well, I mean, I can't add to that. That is exactly right.
Yeah. Cordero, sorry when I go so in depth into something right. that Rob's just like, yeah, okay, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, Cordero is the wild card, but look what he's done. Even against good defenses, even against Tampa, he put up good numbers. So he's always going to give you something. So you can count on Patterson, and I can't count on the other two. So.
Yeah, the only time this year that Patterson didn't produce was the week that he got hurt against Dallas.
Boom. He's been crazy for teams this year.
Receivers, Deontay Johnson at Minnesota and Van Jefferson at Arizona for kicker points versus Odell Beckham at Arizona and Hollywood Brown at Cleveland.
All right, so I hate Hollywood Brown. Last two games has not produced a lot of targets. Not a lot of production. Odell has been okay. Actually, you know, pretty good last week, but I don't know. Deontay Johnson's target monster. And we already talked about how Minnesota is not good on the back end. So I love him. And Van Jefferson, you know, has a chance at producing. So this sounds crazy, but I'm going to go Johnson and Jefferson. I hate that I said that.
I was going that route too. And Odell wasn't super involved against Jacksonville. Five targets, although he was limited with what did he have for an injury? I don't remember. Anyway, Van Jefferson has been the last, what, six games, seven targets, seven, nine, eight. I'm totally fine with his workload. I think he could outscore Odell on his own. So, yeah, easy Deontay and Van Jefferson for me.
All right.
Yeah, I was just looking at Hollywood stats this year. It's weird. It's weird how that team has developed as the year's gone on. His targets have never fallen below five targets in a game, but his points have been pretty up and down. He really floats with how that offense operates. So
well, and that's what you'd expect from a guy that is, you know, more of that big play guy. What's weird to me is weeks 10 and 12 where he had 13 targets and 10 targets, 14 total catches, but only had 88 yards on 14 catches. Those are the weird weeks for me where it's just like, what is happening there?
Yeah, that offense has been strange. With the running game decimated, Baltimore has been strange to watch. But we're going to keep talking about them because in the tight ends, we got Noah Fant against Detroit versus Mark Andrews at Cleveland.
Andrews, move on.
Agreed.
Yeah, seems like Andrews has been hyper targeted over the last couple of weeks. Don't know what that says about the offense, but yeah, Andrews.
Yeah.
Flex, DK Metcalf at Houston and Tre'Quan Smith at the Jets versus a fill-in spot and then Miles Sanders. So we got to fill in these.
Let's call it Davante Adams and either Jamison Crowder or Kareem Hunt. Pick your poison there. And for me, I don't care who it is. Since Davante Adams is in there, he's going to win this matchup.
Yeah, I'd say Davante Adams and Kareem Hunt for sure. And yeah, no question.
I mean, we talked about how with Corey Davis out, Crowder could see more work. And especially if Elijah Moore's out, Crowder could be that, you know, 15 target guy this week.
Yes. And both beat Metcalf and Smith.
Yep. So.
What if we throw Davante Adams up in there instead of Odell Beckham, and then it's Odell and Kareem Hunt.
Oh, I see. Well, then the wide receivers would get a lot closer, and then I would give the flex to kicker points.
Then I wouldn't have gone Johnson and Jefferson.
Right.
And yeah. Yes.
All right. Yeah. We talked about defense. Fuck, I always forget about them. Chargers against the Giants for kicker, and then Bills.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll take the defense against the third string quarterback. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yep. That's kind of why it doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
Tyler, what is kicker points? What can they do?
I mean,
not a damn thing. I mean, unless you want to play AJ Green or MVS. You know, I actually MVS.
MVS, shoot for the moon.
There you go. He's looked, I mean, last 2 weeks before the bye, 10 targets, 9 targets. Yeah, play him over Tre'Quan Smith for sure. Easy.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the number one thing, and that's the only thing because you don't have a tight end with Goddard being on bye to flip in for Fant.
Yep.
Yeah. And then as far as the Hogs go,
we already talked about Adams.
Adams and Kareem Hunt. You got to, if Adams is playing and he's healthy, you got to find a way for him in this lineup. And you got to find a way for Kareem Hunt in this lineup too.
Yep. Or Crowder, depending on the Jet wide receiver news.
All righty. So, Rob, who's taking it?
I'm sorry. It's easy Hedgehogs for me.
Tyler?
Give me kicker points matter.
Dice will say Hogs.
Woo!
And I'm going to go kicker points as well.
Oh, my goodness.
I think they keep their season alive.
Me and the Dice out on a limb.
And the only reason is because they're catching Hogs with Jonathan Taylor on bye.
I mean, true.
Right. Final matchup. Also, the final matchup for the Commissioner's Cup is going to be Christian Sunday School, who is the holder at 6-7 versus the also 6-7 Touchdown My Pants. Currently, Sunday School favored by 35, but I'm pretty sure we'll see.
So there's some buys happening.
There's three buys on Pants' side. So
all the Dolphins.
Yeah. So how are we sitting? We're as far sitting. As playoffs go, is there anything else to add?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it. Loser goes home. It's as simple as that. If Christian Sunday School wins this matchup, he's pretty much guaranteed to be in, and it's just where does he fall with tiebreakers. If Pants win, again, we go back to whether kicker points matter one, and then who scored more.
Right.
Okie doke. Quarterbacks. Christian Sunday School has Justin Herbert against the Giants versus Touchdown My Pants is Josh Allen at Tampa.
And this all depends on which Justin Herbert shows up. And Josh Allen should be able to throw against Tampa Bay. Give me Herbert because he's at home.
Give me Josh Allen because that game is going to be a lot closer. That could turn into a shootout. I see no world in which the Giants even remotely keep up with the Chargers. In which case, downgrade your passing options there. So, yeah, give me Allen fairly easily.
I get you.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at some stats here. I'll take Herbert, just funsies.
Go.
Running back, Najee Harris at Minnesota and Chuba Hubbard against Atlanta for Sunday School versus Alvin Kamara at the Jets and Leonard Fournette against Buffalo for Pants.
All right, fine. I'll go.
I went first last time.
I mean, we talked about it with Minnesota. They're going to give up everything to the receivers. They're middle of the road against running backs. But, you know, I'm not worried about Najee. I just don't think he has, like, a ceiling game this week. Hubbard, Atlanta is bad against running backs. This is really the last good matchup that he has. So I could see that working out. Kamara. If he's back, he should be Kamara. You just got to hope that Taysom is throwing the ball to the running backs, which he did last week with Ty Montgomery. And Fournette, Buffalo is a great, great defense. So give me Najee and Chuba.
God. I really want to go Kamara and Fournette just because the Jets, but I have to agree with you. It's got to be Najee and Hubbard because Fournette is that – Buffalo defense is good. Harrison Hubbard.
Fournette. I love it. I can't not say it. Justin Jefferson against Pittsburgh and then Hunter Renfro at KC for Sunday School versus Keenan Allen, who is out.
Replaced.
And then Brandon Ayuk at Cincinnati.
I mean, this is easy. We talked about Jefferson earlier, getting all the love, and Renfro has been a PPR surprise. Jefferson Renfro, real easy, especially with Allen being on COVID.
This is super, super easy. Jefferson and Renfro for the reasons you said. And let's see. So we said Allen needs two positive tests, right? Because he is COVID positive.
He is correct.
So yeah. Yeah. This is super, super easy.
Yeah.
All righty. tight ends. Travis Kelce again.
Done.
Vegas versus the bye squad.
No, we're moving on.
Yeah, this is going to be Gerald Everett, and he's been involved, but no, not
about it's Kelce. Over. Come on, bye bye.
Yeah, so flexes DJ Moore against Atlanta and T Higgins against San Francisco for CSS. I mean, Joe Mixon's in the bye here. We'll see how that illness goes, but that could be very extremely solid for him.
Yeah.
Other flex, we're looking at
no Marquez one
Callaway or Ty Johnson.
Bye.
Another bye in Devonta Smith.
Yeah, don't care. Moore and Higgins.
I mean, Joe Mixon could certainly do things against San Francisco. They're middle of the road, actually worse than the middle of the road against the running back. And if you throw a good two in there at the flex, I could definitely see this flipping.
Like
two.
Who? Like who?
Oh, good question. I didn't even look. Yeah. I mean, Ty Johnson, we just talked about how he could be the last running back standing.
I guess.
Which would be gross. I mean, David Johnson versus Seattle. I mean, really, if you just get 10 points out of that second spot, I think you could win this matchup.
I'd rather have Morton Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, Higgins has been super hot. So,
all right.
All right. Tyler, talk to me about CSS.
Are we not going to talk about defenses?
Defenses?
You know, the reason why I skip over it because they mean just kickers always did, and kickers are just trash.
No. Steelers at Minnesota.
And the bye.
What?
Yeah, so Jared's got to play the Rams at Arizona.
Yes. I don't care about either one of these.
Yeah, this is the Steelers at Minnesota, but yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that was fun. Aren't you glad we covered that?
I want to hear the song again.
Right. All right, Tyler, this time now actually take me through CSS.
All right.
I take you through CSS, you say. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot I would change just looking at it. Looking down through the bench, you know, if you didn't have Kelce, I would try to force Conklin in because. I guess Pittsburgh's good against the tight end, but I was going to say with Thielen, he could see a bump. No, I wouldn't change anything. Yeah, no, you're good.
All right.
Now we pretty much covered Pants got a lot of work to do, whether it's his own bench or finding the waiver wire. I mean,
yeah. I heard Julio might be activated this week.
Yeah, mayhaps.
And if he is, that goes in for Keenan Allen. And then we talked about the other ones. So that's where I'd go.
All right, let's consult the dice.
All right.
Dice are going to go with their first away team of the night, CSS.
And I'll join them for only the second time tonight, or third time, I guess. And I'll take CSS as well.
Me too.
Yeah, Jared's been a powerhouse of a team in this last half of the season when he actually starts a full lineup, but he's got a bad time ahead of him with buys. So give me CSS.
Well, his Miami players are on a buy, so all right, it's a four square for the CSS.
Yeah, and that's it. Last podcast before playoffs. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah. Good luck, Rob. Please don't be in last place, please, God.
Last all place, Rob. Holy. Last all place, Rob.
Holy, please don't let me be. Please, all that is holy.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where the top three in points end up after this week. It's definitely going to be interesting. And then,
I'm broke and I can't pay anyone.
I'm taking all suggestions for what I should name Rob's team next year.
Yeah, go ahead and don't get too far ahead of yourself, Nate.
Yeah, what about Chris's team? You got some ideas for that?
No, I have zero ideas for Chris's team. I only look at bad teams when I'm thinking about who I'm going to name.
Wow.
So yeah, I've been pretty keyed in on your team for the last.
Now you know, I really hope 13 weeks. Chris loses, so you have to switch.
That would hurt me so much. I just want you to finish in last.
That's what I want to hurt you.
Here's how much I want you to finish in last. I would take Nate winning the championship if it meant you finishing in last.
He can't do it.
I mean, that's what I would have said about you finishing in last before this year. So who knows?
I might not do it.
We'll see.
Let's end this.
Please do. Huey.
Last place, Rob. Last place, Rob.
Chris, if he can't come right here, he can't come at all. So
he's going to take a big load. Bye-bye.